It really is good to sort of get around the word together and to look at it. And today, we're going to commence this study, as David has been saying, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through to verses 1 through to 14, there are 9 gifts listed. And so we shall be looking at those over the next few weeks. We're not wanting to rush this, because what I want people to do is to grasp the importance and grasp the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for each and every one of us, and for us to grow and develop in God. And so it's important that we grasp all of this, because today many evangelical Pentecostal churches, in quotes, the gifts of the Spirit are not in operation. There's no time given to God, to the Holy Spirit, to actually speak into people's lives and to minister. The only time is when the word's been spoken, and that is not necessarily always directly via the Holy Spirit, although hopefully it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we look back just to last Sunday, for instance, I put a message up on Saturday night. I didn't know what Grace was speaking about. The worship went in line with what Grace was speaking about. Steve brought something, again, in line with what Grace and Daniel. So it all dovetailed together, right? And this is what moving in the gifts of the Spirit is all about, is the fact that each and every one of us, that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, should dwell in each and every one of us. And we should begin to hear the similar things that God is saying to each and every one of us. And then there's that other scripture. When the people dwell together in unity, their God commands the blessing. So it's important. And so I don't want to rush this topic at all. I want us to actually be making the most of this. And in this, I want us actually to begin to be practicing. So it's not just a case of talking about it, but it's actually learning to listen. And my experience was that I remember the church I was in, one of the elders used to stand up on a Sunday morning and he would give a word of prophecy. And he would shake like crazy when he was giving this word of prophecy. So, me being a sort of a curious type of person and always wanting to know what's going on in what sense, I went up to ask him and said, "Tell me, how do you know when you've got a word of prophecy or a from God like?" And the answer was this: "You'll know."
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not good enough, because that tells me absolutely nothing, right? Well, thankfully, God over the next year or two brought me to into a relationship with an evangelist who moved in the gifts of the Spirit.
Oh,
and he got me to come along and help him on a number of crusades that he ran. And also he did men's weekends, and so went on these men's weekends, and he would have a time where he would say, "Right, we're just going to, as a small group," and he'd break us up into like groups of maybe 6 or 8, and say, "Right, we're just going to wait on God and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and just wait and see what he says. And he might give you a picture, he might give you a few words," and so on. And these were the types of things that we would sit there, and then after a while we would share what we felt we'd received, and then somebody would say, "That's just for me." Mm-hmm. Wow. And so I use a terminology in one sense, it's like tuning our ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And it's about tuning out all the distractions around us. And I use that analogy where the shortwave radio, you've two knobs. The big knob is to quickly get to where you want to be, and then there's a knob at the other side, which is a fine-tuned knob, and you turn that until you get hit right onto that strength of the signal, and you receive the message through clearly.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so that's what it's about. It's about us receiving. And when we're out praying for people, sometimes they'll come out and sometimes I'll ask them what they need. Other times it'll be a case of I just wait on God and listen. What is the Holy Spirit saying? And so I stand there, and what am I doing? I'm trying to make sure I'm tuned in. I'm trying to make sure I'm hearing God. And it's not about how clever you are. It's not how well educated you are. It's how tuned in you are.
Amen.
That is it. I remember, it blew my mind, I was at a camp, Holly Bush Camp, many, many years ago. And a young boy, he must have only been about 8 years old, got up and gave a word of prophecy. Well, my jaw dropped. I was like, wow. He was absolutely on fire, this kid. Absolutely amazing how God was using. So it's not, again, as we said, it's not about age. It's not about abilities. It's about availabilities. That's what you've got to come to. Being available. Now, one of the things that we teach, and it's in line with Scripture, is that if you've got something, bring it to the leadership,
yeah.
and let the and that way, it says in Scripture about the fact that, well, if you bring in a prophetic word, it says let the prophets test, and we need to be sure, because we don't do backdoor prophecies. Okay, what I mean by that is that we don't expect that somebody after service goes up to somebody and says, oh, I've got a word for you from God. That's not happening. I've seen it happen and I've seen the damage it does. And if it's not good enough to come through the front, it's not good enough to be going through the back door. And it's about protecting the sheep, the congregation. Last Sunday, can I use your... Yeah, last Sunday, Ava came to me after service and said, whilst we were praying for Leonard, she just had a brief word for him, and she shared it with me. I said, okay, that's fine, go and share it with him. That's okay. I know what's happening. She knows that she's covered by the leadership at that point in time.
Yeah.
If I disagreed with it, then maybe I'd run it by others and I'll say, well, let's pray into it first before then we give it. You see, again, it's about ensuring that we, first of all, that we ensure that God is in the centre of this and that we are honouring God in all that we say and all that we do. It's like when people get healed, we say, we want you to give glory to God. Because by doing that, it encourages faith in the church, in individuals who might be struggling with a sickness or might be struggling with something.
Mm.
And you stand up and say, well, last week I was prayed for, or I prayed to God about something and God healed me, God touched me, God did this for me, etc. And it's like, wow, God's real.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is real.
Yeah.
You know, God is interested in today in your life.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing. And so we need to build faith in people, because there are many churches, and sadly that does not happen. The Lord is not glorified by what he does. And so often people try and use God just as a supermarket, I put it, pop in and buy what they want and then leave, and then they don't go back for a long, long, long time, and then suddenly when they're desperate for something, they turn up and they're asking God for something. Now, I know sometimes we can go through a difficult time,
mm-hmm.
and then we realise that, hey, made a mistake, and that let's move forward, and change. And that's what we've got to do.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through to 14, as I said. Would someone just like to read a few verses for me initially? Say to 1 to 3 initially. Let's just have a look at that, please. nice and loud and clear. And you see, this will help us in the future. For instance, when we are practicing, we're practicing one sense for public reading, and also when we give our testimony and etc. Because you know, there are many things we've got to do for the future. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Ian, come on, then.
Come on, then. Talk concerning spiritual gifts, brother. He knew that we were Gentiles, carried away from the dumb idols, even we were led. Therefore, I give you this understanding that the man is speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yeah. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. God is moving in our lives. And Paul here, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and then this letter from the Corinthian churches will go out right through the churches that Paul has planted, and he's concerning spiritual gifts. He says, I want you to realise the importance. I want you to take charge of this, because this is part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. You see, the Lord Jesus, he would go to somebody and, well, like the woman at the well who said to, you know, Jesus said, give me water, and you know, the story goes on, and he says, well, I could give you water that you'll never want to drink again. So, well, you've got nothing to pour with, you know, she's got no idea what he's talking about at that time. And then he says to her, well, go and fetch your husband. Yeah, you know, and she said, I've got a husband. He said, no, you've had six, like, sort of thing, you know. And so Jesus is seeing into this. Jesus has got revelation and wisdom in this, you see, and he's beginning to use the gifts. So what we're talking about is what Jesus was using right through his ministry, because it is part of the ministry of the Holy Ghost and through our lives. Yeah. So, verse 4 through to verse 7. Joan, please.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Just pause there. There are diversity of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. Now, we're listing, Paul's listing at the moment 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're not different spirits. It is one Spirit. There's one God, there's one Saviour, Jesus, and there's one Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit, right? And they are one.
Yeah.
With one mission, one goal, one purpose.
Yeah.
And they have individual facets.
Mm.
And when they come together, they are complete, the Godhead, right? So, carry on from there, John, please. Yeah.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all.
Yeah. Amen. So there are, in these 9 giftings, there are different ministries. They're there for different reasons, different purposes, and they're different ministries. And not all of us will operate in all of them. We have to start somewhere, though, and that is the important thing, making the start. And we're here as a leadership, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, wanting to encourage each other so that we're bringing up a generation that moves in the Spirit, because your ministry is out and about 24/7,
yeah.
The people that you meet.
Yeah.
In your life. out, Grace and I, as we were rushing here, we sort of saying, you know, that we've got all this teaching to do, and I'm looking sort of to the future and looking at the type of person that is going to come into the church who is totally unchurched, who's actually probably never opened a Bible, right? And when I think like that, I think, the load of work to teach people the things of God and to bring them on is enormous. Yeah. And jokingly I said to Grace, I said, well, you know, as the Lord continues to bring these people in, I said, we won't have time to go out and bring them in. And Grace reminded me, she said, that's why God said he was going to bring them in.
Mm.
You see, because we're going to be too busy teaching. You know, we've got this school, we've got this one now. We could be having one every day.
Yeah.
Or twice a day.
Amen.
Because of the number of people, and we haven't got, you know, the rooms aren't big enough. And what I don't, you see, the important thing we have to realise is that by keeping it small initially, it allows questions and answers to go forward, and that's how I want us to be able to carry it. Because if you have a question, it's not that you're thick, it's not that you're stupid,
no,
it's just the fact that you've never heard this before and you need to know,
no,
or you're unsure about something.
Yeah.
And so asking a question is how we learn.
Yeah.
I'm always asking questions. You can say, well, maybe you don't ask questions very often, but I guarantee you're often searching the internet. And when you're searching the internet, what are you doing? You're asking a question. Is that true? You're asking a question. So praise God. So be free to ask questions. And so these, there are varied gifts of ministry, and we will look at these through the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And there are various effects by these ministries. They're there for a different purpose, for a different reason, for a different effect in and through people's lives. Verse 7, is it? Can somebody read 7 through to verse 9, please?
I'll read it.
Go on then.
That the manifesting of the Spirit is given to one the most profitable. For one is given of the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to other gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another of the working miracles, another prophecy to others, another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues.
Thank you. Great, that's great. I know you went a bit further, that's fine, that's good for me. So there it is, Paul is initially listing the ministry gifts that are there for each and every one of us. And I today will endeavour to deal with the first three, shall we say. And that is, as we look at that, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. The first three that I want to deal with is tongues, interpretations, and prophecy. Those are the ones that are particularly tongues in the first stage, because tongues is often the sign of the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit into a person's life. And we're going to look at scriptures to do with that. So let's just carry on and read the next few verses from verse 11 down to verse 14. Let me just read that for us, please.
But all these workers, but one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man separately, as he will. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Yeah, amen. Thanks. It's one, it's the one and the same Spirit working in all these things.
Yeah.
There's a confirmation in the Word.
Mm.
It's the same Spirit, one Spirit, but it does that confirmation in all these things. And so we can rejoice in that and praise God. But it's one body.
Yeah.
You see, we're not, when we come together as believers, we are one body in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right? We're not, although we're individual, when we come together, and like I'll go back to Sunday, the people involved in leading and preaching and the meeting became spiritually one body.
Yeah.
Because they were saying the same or similar things, leading all in the same direction to the same point.
Mm.
Now, I love it when it's like that, because that's when I know my leadership, the people in the church are hearing God.
Amen.
And that we're hearing that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That thrills me. And that has happened over many years in Harvest Field. It's one of the things that we seek to, I personally seek to strive for, that we're hearing the Spirit of God. It's so important. Because then we will have unity. It's when people have got their own agenda and they bring it in, and it's like, this ain't going to work. And you don't have your own agenda. You come in and you say, Lord, what is it you want? You know, if you join in the church, you come in and you say, Lord, what is it you want me to be in Harvest Fields? What is my position? What is my place?
I just felt it was a real thrill on Sunday, because those things that I said, which were about waiting on the Lord and being strong and having courage, had been with me all week, really. You know, when you're coming to lead the service, you think, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You don't always know what you're going to say, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm really cross with myself, because I wanted to also say Isaiah chapter 40. And we are going to soar like eagles. And we'll not faint, and we'll run and not be weary.
Whoa.
And I didn't. Well, I should have done.
Well,
because it was on my mind, the three bits that I had was the psalm, and that psalm has been with me all my life, Psalm 27 verse 14, from a little boy. I think it must have been the very first verse that I learned as a child, and it's been with me all my life. And then chapter 1 of Joshua, about him saying, nothing will stand against you. Why? Because he will, the words in his mouth, which is waiting on the Lord, being strong and of good courage. And then I wanted to say the Isaiah did.
Well, you left a bit for Grace then, you see.
she would have said,
oi! Oh, yeah.
It was just a thrill.
It is a thrill, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, over the years, the number of times that I've got a word together and come sort of thinking, I really don't know if it's the right word, and then suddenly somebody gets up and they lead off with it. It's like, go on, you just preach first half of the message.
Yeah.
You know? Then somebody else gets up and carries on, and you think, now you've just taken the middle part of the message. Then somebody else gets up and does the end. Well, why am I going to bother, you know? I mean, but it's not, that is not the issue. The issue is that God is saying, hey, this is what I'm saying. This is a confirmation of what I want to say and want to do. And that is, you know, that is like, whoa. And what that does for me then is like, something's going to happen today. Something is going to happen, because there's been that confirmation, and God saying, are you ready? And this is what we've got to get to that place together. You know, because Paul sent, you know, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Paul sent them out, you know, he sent out missionary teams. So never are we expected to be on our own. And it's part of developing and coming together and learning together. And these are the things that I want to see us practicing over the next few weeks, months, and continuing through in ministry. So that's, you know, so Sunday was another a thrill, you know. And And probably, I don't know, has it ever happened to you before?
It has happened to me before,
right.
Yeah. And here.
Right, great.
Where,
so
where I've said something that I maybe nobody else has noticed that it's fitted in, but it has.
It's great though, isn't it? When you start feeling that the other thing it does, it gives you that feeling of really being connected to the body, connected into Christ, and that you're moving forward together, and it gives you causes you to realise that actually you are not alone. God is there, and so it's really important that we catch these things and move forward with these things. So if we so tongues, interpretation and prophecies, these are gifts of utterance and manifestation, right? These gifts are, as if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, a little bit further on from Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. So we're just going to briefly look at sort of how the gifts are sort of forming. And so in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 it says, and he, that's Jesus, God, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, and verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Right. And so what we have to realise and remember is that the giftings on top of these are the fivefold ministry, as it's termed, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher and the evangelist are there for the equipping of the saints. Who's a saint?
Me.
I'm a saint. You know, Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus.
Yeah.
You know, he's not writing to stained glass windows as we look at in, you know, the churches and say, oh, that's saint so and so and so and so. No, look around you. There's a stained glass window straight in front of you. You are a saint. Amen. There you go. Saint David. Saint Ian. Saint Bev. And, you know, that's what we are. We're saints through Christ Jesus. And so the equipping of the saints, and so we are to be equipped with the word and for works of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So what God gives to you and what God gives to me is actually to build up the body, to build up one another, to strengthen one another, because like I said earlier, we're not meant to be just standing all on our own. We're meant to be standing together with the power of God in our lives. Let's just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul again repeats in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, and then miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, ministry. You see, he's adding to the list now. Okay? So, just because you see the 9 gifts, you think, oh, there's just 9 gifts of the Spirit. No, there's not. Actually, I can take you through and find even more, but we're not going to do that today. But he's just a representation of additional giftings. You know, gifts of healing, gifts of health, gifts of administration, various kinds of tongues. Are not all apostles, are they? Are all not prophets? Are they all not teachers? They are not also workers of miracles, are they? And so he goes on in that area. So basically what he's saying is there are many giftings that you have and God has given to you, but now you have to bring them out. Sometimes some of them need developing. Well, most of them probably need developing. You just think, well, I can't do that. It's not about what you can do, it's about what God can do in you. Right? And that's the important thing. So, let's have a look. The gift of tongues. Praise God. Gift of tongues and in interpretation. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Now the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation, these are saying gifts. You know, these are speaking gifts, right? That we're saying something to God and receiving something from God in these. So let's have a look. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. So, whatever age you feel you're at, whatever place you feel you are in life, there it is. God is already saying, this is what I have promised. And that actually comes out of the Old Testament. So, it's something that was prophesied in the Old Testament, yet has not happened, and then suddenly arrives into the New Testament with Jesus, and suddenly it has now started to happen. And when people start talking to me about, well, you know, what's a woman's place in the church? Well, it says, your sons and your daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah? So yeah. That's what the book says.
That's right.
You know, and I know people throw this one with Paul and so say, women be silent in the church. But I'll teach on that one another time. Because that's all misconstrued. So, and then it's been all twisted out of shape, you see.
I'm not dreaming yet.
And so, praise God.
I am.
Yeah, you're
sorry.
I can see that. I can see these still. You'll be getting extra homework. You are in detention, you two, if you're not careful. So, gifts of tongues and interpretations. These are same gifts. Now, first of all, the gift of tongues is diverse tongues. This is tongues by the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. It's not a language that we've learned by going to school or listening to somebody else, but it just comes directly from God, by the Spirit of God. It's not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily understood by the hearer. Okay, so what I'm saying is that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues, you are not necessarily understanding what you are saying. Okay, and when you, if you are used by God to bring a message in tongues in a meeting, again, that does not mean that you understand what you're saying, neither does it mean that the people in the church understand what you are saying. Right? Now then we move on to somebody who then brings the interpretation to what you have just said. Now let me say this. They did not understand what you said. They have suddenly, from heaven, by the Spirit of God, they have been given the message that God wants to speak. Now, so often people think, somebody might speak in tongues and it might last, say, 3-4 minutes or so, I don't know, we'll not put a time, you know, but let's use that as an example. And then somebody may have the interpretation and theirs may only last 2 minutes. That doesn't mean they missed anything out, right? There is the other way, where people will bring an interpretation and will go on for 10 minutes. And what you find out that after the 5 minutes, after the 5 minutes, they've gone into a self spirit, the human spirit, and now they're using their mind. And if you are tuned spiritually, you will recognize when somebody's gone from the spirit of God into the human spirit. And you feel like saying, now sit down, brothers, you know, you've said enough. That, you know, let's, you know, because that now is you're bringing self into that, and that can cloud the water. You've heard me use that example where a friend of mine, a lady, had been praying for a message from God, and she said, Lord, all I want to hear is somebody say the word wheelbarrow, and I know I've got the answer to my problem. And so he gets a word from God and has to bring this. This would be classed as a sort of a prophetic word, shall we say. And all he gets from God is wheelbarrow. And he's like, what does that mean? It's not even in the book, I don't think, anywhere. You know, in whichever translation you use, it's not there. And he struggled with it all the meeting. But he knew he'd heard. And so he gave it. And then this lady said, oh, praise God. She was 80-odd years old. She says, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's answered my prayer. You see. So, it is not always what you think, you know, it doesn't have to be directly what you think, because it's somebody who was asked. And then this is when I always say, if God has spoken to you through that prophetic word, through that interpretation in tongues, then you need to acknowledge it. You need to say, that was for me. That was for me. Don't necessarily need to give the details, but you need to acknowledge it, because then it builds faith in other people around you that this is not just gibberish and somebody's making it up as they go along, but this is God speaking into my life because I asked God a question. And you know, Grace and I have done it historically. We've asked God a question and God has spoken to us through other people in church, and they knew nothing about the question. But you see, God does. And so he uses vessels. And the vessels are you and I that God wants to use. So praise his wonderful name. The gift of tongues. It can be used just to praise God with. Right?
Yeah.
It is a way of... Because you don't understand what you were saying... It actually allows you to express something from your spirit, right? Because it's from the spirit. And sometimes we're in a situation and we don't know what to pray.
Yeah.
We don't know how to pray, but we pray. But if we try to pray with our understanding, we're stuck. Of course, we don't know what to, we don't know how to. And so our only alternative is to then begin to pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And as it says, we don't know what we're praying. But we are speaking, the word is mysteries unto God. And so from our spirit, that spirit, when we became born again, Christ was born, the Spirit of God was born within us. He gave us a new spirit, a new seed, incorruptible. And so we were born of that. And now that spirit wants to communicate with its creator.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we begin to speak to our creator through tongues. And I remember an instance in my life many years ago. I had a friend who was a missionary out in Spain. He had two girls. And we didn't contact in those days, was by letter or by telephone. And there was no internet, so it's quite a while ago. And I remember one day, I hadn't seen him for many years, but I had a picture of his two daughters, and I could see them. And I started to pray for them. They were in pain. Their faces were in agony. And they were in pain for some reason. So I began to pray. But I didn't know what to pray because I didn't know what the problem was. So I began to pray in the Spirit. And I prayed, and what it was, I'm going to use this way of expressing it. It was like a burden came over me. And so I'm thinking, what's the problem? Now, whether it was me at that time, I wasn't, shall we say, as switched on spiritually. But I knew that God wanted me to pray. And so I began to pray in tongues. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed until I felt the burden lift. The burden went off my shoulders. It had gone. And at that point, I knew that the answer had been given. I thought, great. So later, I wrote to him and said, oh, on such and such a day, I had this burden for your two daughters and I was praying for them. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was right or wrong. Just, you know. I received a letter back a few weeks later saying, well, believe it or not, both of them had got chicken pox at that very time. The eldest was in absolute horrific pain with it. And he said, on that day that you're talking about, he says it all lifted. Wow. Wow. You know, I was blown away. Because, I mean, I just said, well, who am I? Well, I'm just one of these that I'm one of the saints.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm one of the saints. And these gifts are given so that we can pray and intercede for people who might be miles away. And the Lord says, who will hear my voice?
Amen.
Who will answer the call?
Yeah.
Who will raise up a prayer? Who will raise up an offering for them in that sense?
Yeah.
And minister. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always done here in this building. It's not always done here. It can be across the other side of the sea somewhere. And be encouraged in that God wants you to begin to move in these giftings. These giftings are powerful. So tongues is not just, oh, I've been filled with the Spirit and that's it. The more that you use the gift of tongues, the more peace comes into your life. The more authority and presence and power comes into your life. For instance, tongues has many diverse ways about it. Tongues can be a way of praising God. Tongues can be a way of interceding for people who are sick or have problems. Tongues can also be used in a sense of spiritual warfare when you are coming against the enemy. And I'm going to say this to you, using those three examples, when I'm speaking in tongues and just worshipping God, the language is different to when I'm doing spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
It is not the same. So I speak four languages at least. You know, three different tongues. But again, I don't know what I'm praying, but I sense in my spirit that there is an action going out there and there is something being done beyond this natural realm.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing that you to be realised that. So tongues is there for one, it's for your upbuilding. For your encouraging. You might be feeling down and depressed and you think, what am I going to do? And, you know, we talk about singing songs, well, not just sing songs, but praising and worshipping in tongues. Get lost in worship and praise. And praise, you know, tongues is for praise. Now, it is also, as we say, used when someone will bring a message of tongues and then somebody in the church will bring the interpretation. Now, that interpretation is not a direct word-for-word translation.
No.
It is different. Okay. It's not a word-for-word. I do know of an instance where in Doncaster Pentecostal Church many years ago, there was somebody was there. They had a visitor in the church who spoke French. And somebody in Doncaster Church gave a message in tongues and gave it actually in French. Now that person never spoke French, didn't know a word of French, but they spoke absolute perfect French. And then somebody else in the congregation gave the interpretation which was exactly correct to the French speaking, you see. And the French person afterwards went up to the person who gave the message in tongues, who had been speaking in French, and said, "Where did you learn your French? It was absolutely perfect, enunciation and so on." And it's like, "French? They wouldn't learn me French at school, I'm not smart enough," you know, type of thing. He said, "What?" But it was... And I think this French-speaking person had some doubts on the things of the Spirit of God, you see. And so there was God hanging it straight out there and saying, "There you go." You see, God invented every language. When you consider that there was one language until the Tower of Babel, when God came down and said, "We need to confuse this lot," and made them, gave them different languages, and then they clung together. So God has given all these languages. So heavenly language. And then remember this: when you're speaking in tongues, the devil doesn't know what you're saying. He does not know what you're saying. So when you start speaking to God in tongues, the devil is like, "What? I can't get a translator. Who knows what they're saying?" You know. But there is something going off in the realm of the spirit that stops the devil interfering with it.
Amen.
So be encouraged that, you know, begin to seek God. You know, the word says, desire the best gifts. Well, let me say this, desire to be filled with the Spirit. You know, this is part of the journey. This is part of God's process in our lives of development and growing. You know, I wanted to pray for Noah on Sunday night, but bless them, they had to leave. But next time they come, I just want to bless little Noah. But you see, Noah can't speak at the moment. But you know, when he gets to 4, 5 and 6, if he can't speak at 4, 5 and 6, there's something wrong, isn't there? Mm. You know? Something seriously wrong.
Different.
So, think about that in spiritual terms. Mm. How long have we been believers? We need to be moving and developing in the gifts of the Spirit, you see. And the sad thing is that historically in churches, people have been kept back from growing. You know, yeah, you can speak in tongues. Yeah, you can bring an interpretation. Maybe you can prophesy, but don't get involved in anything else, you know. But that's not what the Word teaches. The Word teaches is wanting us to move forward more and more in the things of God. And so, speaking in tongues and interpretation were the beginning of the New Testament church. It was there for the empowering of people. Because Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power."
Yeah.
Now, so often we've talked, and I can look at, you know, going back 50 years to my time being filled with the Spirit, so often it was just thought about, you just need to speak in tongues. I was never told, you know, this is an empowering experience, you see, and it is, because that's what Jesus said. He didn't say wait till you speak in tongues. He said wait until you are filled with power. Right? The manifestation that the Spirit was given was partly was, one, there was flames of tongues resting on the head, but two, they were out there on the streets. The Spirit pushed them out. They were speaking in different languages to people. So it was an amazing experience. And there they were ministering into people's lives, and God was moving mightily. And people were coming to Christ through it. So what we've got to realize is that God can do this in our lives and do it effectively for the extension of the kingdom of God. And so when you speak in tongues, as I said earlier, it is not always it's not understood by the general congregation, and you might have people who are in church who are not even Christians, and they think, what's this all about? And this is why these folk are crazy. But then this is why we need someone to bring the interpretation.
That's what Paul says, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come in and think you're mad.
You think you're mad?
Yeah.
Well, we are, you know. We're
peculiar.
We are peculiar. Yeah, the Bible says we are a peculiar people, right? And we are. Because there is a dimension that has come back into the life of the human that God put there right at the beginning of creation. Right? When God breathed into man his spirit, you see, and then Adam and Eve lost their relationship with God, and through Christ, now God is breathing by his Holy Spirit into us a tremendous relationship of communication with him. And so tongues is really important. So tongues can be used just as a devotional, a time, and I would encourage, when you've been filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues in your devotional time. Practice it, use it, otherwise you'll lose it, you see. And so it's good. And you know, when we come together in church and pray, practice it in prayer, verbalize it. And when you begin to do that, you are actually speaking into the realms of the Spirit around us. And you could be doing warfare.
Yes, right.
In that spiritual realm that is around us, that is seeking to stop the move of God. Right? I mean, we prayed on around these streets, and we need to, as soon as the weather's booked up a bit, we're going again. We're going to be praying around the streets. And you might say, well, what do we pray? You might not know, but you pray in tongues. Hallelujah. You begin to do the warfare, and you push back the enemy through that message of speaking in tongues. So tongues is not always going to be interpreted in one sense, in the sense that it might not be giving a word of revelation or knowledge or anything like that, because sometimes you can bring a message in tongues and somebody might say, oh, which triggered them off to bring a message of revelation that God wants to speak, because they're still not quite there yet as to step out in faith and say, I've got a word from God or a prophecy, you know. So sometimes tongues is used for that as a little bit of a kickstart trigger, but other times it's just used as worship, and there might not be an interpretation. And yet there have been times when I've been in meetings where somebody's spoken in tongues and you knew they were just worshipping God. You knew they were just absolutely gone with Jesus, and they were absolutely just overflowing with an experience, and they themselves did not have the ability to express it with their natural language. And then somebody gives the interpretation and expresses this adoration and fixation that this person's got, and this emotional love tie with God that they're expressing to God. And you go, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? You know? And so it's just a thing of the move of the Spirit that is so wonderful. And God wants you to move in that realm. So often, as I say, tongues is good for your own personal time, in particular worship, praise, even during your study time. You know, just say, Lord, just begin to speak in tongues there. Lord, just reveal your word to me. It's a little bit like tuning yourself into the Spirit, and we need to sort of do that. So it's a way of expressing ourselves and our feelings to God when we don't know what to pray. We just move on into that area. As I said, tongues is the initial evidence of signs of the Holy Spirit indwelling each and every one of us, but it is also an experience for the rest of our lives to assist us in our worship to God. It should be a flowing stream that should never dry up.
Amen.
It should constantly be there, constantly flowing from us. And in that, it will enrich our spiritual life. It will bring empowering. It will bring strengthening to you and to your spirit. It will also affect your body. It will affect your mind. And it will enable you to pray in situations where you're unsure what to pray, as I've shared already, with the two children in Spain. And as I said earlier, tongues is a confirmation of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, speaking mysteries of God and mysteries to God. Wow, you know, it's, you know, this word of God is a mystery. We have intellectuals, many intellectuals have read the Bible and have turned around and said, hey, guess what? There's no God. And yet, somebody who's not super intellectual reads the Bible and says, I've just found God.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've just found out He loves me. And then He died for me and He set me free, you see. And yet the bright people have said, no, there is no God. Intellect cannot find God.
No.
Well, but God finds us.
Mm.
And it's wonderful when God begins to move. So it's a confirmation of God moving in our lives, speaking to us. We speak mysteries unto God. God will sometimes, through us, speak mysteries through the gift of tongues. And we should let it be like a flowing stream that should never dry up. It charges our own experience in our lives. It's an empowering gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Therefore, stir up the gift within you. Now, if you've only got the gift of tongues, that's just the beginning. But stir it up, press in with that, and let God begin to move in your life. If you're feeling downcast and depressed, sometimes your tongue, if you're not, your natural tongue can get you into trouble and send you on a downward spiral even more. Right? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
You know, somebody said something, certain things have happened, and next thing you're thinking those thoughts, and it's put you on a downward spiral, and then you begin to speak them out, and then you're agreeing with what they've said.
Yeah.
And so all that's happening is you're going down, down, and down, and you've got to stop yourself at that point. Whoa, wait a minute. Move into tongues, begin to praise God, and guess what? You start rising. You rise up with wings of eagles.
Yeah.
You rise up in the strength of the Lord.
Right.
So when you're feeling downcast, it'll lift your spirit.
It will.
When you're feeling you're not in victory, it'll bring you into victory.
Yeah.
That's what tongues will do for you. So tongues is a part of the manifestation for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As I say, someone may speak an utterance in tongues, others will speak an interpretation. It may even be given as a prophecy. Right? Because this is like some of the first stages of toddler steps to moving into prophecy. Okay? And we'll look at that next week. So Paul encourages us that we should not only speak in tongues, but that we should also interpret. So when we're speaking in tongues, that's a good start. That's great. You know, that's been the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is moving us on. He's pushing us on. He says, but I want you to interpret. I want you to interpret. Now, if Paul thinks it's right, then we must think it's right. Because that's the early church. Let's just look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, please. And verse 14. we'll just start at 13. Acts 8, chapter 8 and verse 13. And even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized he continued on with Philip. And he observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And for he had not yet fallen upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were baptized in water.
Amen.
And so, and they said, then they began to lay hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, give me this authority to me. You see, Simon had been a sorcerer, had been practicing all sorts of strange things, and he thought he could buy this power. He thought he could buy this ability. Well, freely you receive, freely give, and God gives to us freely. And we'll not bother, but you can read the rest of that, those two other verses. That's not relevant really to us now at the moment. So, when I did this teaching in Romania, and with this I'll finish, when I did this teaching in Romania, The Romanian women are often very put down, very subdued, third-rate citizens, shall I say. When I go to Romania and I pray for people, well, when I pray for people here, I expect them to look at me in the eyes. Is that right? You know, I need to know that you're in contact with me, you're listening to me. Well, when you start to pray for a Romanian lady, she comes out and this is the stance that she takes. She looks to the floor. Hey, I'm nobody, but I'm a human being in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord has given me the privilege to have certain anointings laid on me for certain times, certain situations, certain circumstances. And so I always then put my finger underneath the chin and lift them up and say, now look at me. Look at me and listen. And often, you know, as soon as I let go, the head goes down again. It's like, no. You're going to look at me. And in the church that we visit every time we go, in Karan, there's a lady there. She's very, very timid, very shy, sweet spirit, but really does not have anything to sort of say. She's not bold in any way. And when we taught on the gifts of the Spirit, I said to her, I said to all of the people, I said, you know, we're going to pray for you at the end, and God might just, some of you might be filled with the Spirit, start speaking some straight away. I said, some of you might go home. And I said, in the night watches or in your own bedroom or in your own house, suddenly you'll start speaking tongues. Well, this lady, I think she went home, and a couple of days later, she was having a dream. And she was dreaming that she was drinking at a well. Well, she woke up in the middle of the dream. And when she woke up, she was speaking in tongues.
Yeah,
wow.
Right.
You know, so we laid hands on them, and then we left it up to God and for them to work it through in that sense together. And so she came up speaking in tongues. Well, she came to the church the next week, and they were doing some leafleting out on the streets. Well, she never volunteers for leafleting, you know. She's like, no way. She was first one to take leaflets. They rang me from Romania and said, you're not going to believe what just happened. I said, tell me. And this was the story that they told me, and I thought, wow. That is fantastic, isn't it? You know? Sadly, we haven't had a chance to go back because of COVID yet. But I am excited about the fact that these things happen. Glory to God. And, you know, we've seen the progress. During that last meeting, when we laid hands on them, there was a 7-year-old boy. He's weeping. He's absolutely weeping. And he's holding his mummy's hands and he's saying, why am I crying? He had no clue why he was crying, but it was the move of the Spirit of God just moving over him, and God had a word for him. The guy that leads worship in the church in Karan, the guitar player, Chipri, he's from the Baptist church, bless him, and he comes to the Pentecostal church because he just wants more of God. And he was sat to one side, and somebody said to me, I think you need to have a word with Chipri. I said, why? Where is he? He says, he's behind you, he's over there. He was sobbing his heart out. You see, the Spirit of God was moving on him, you see, beginning to prepare people for things. Others were being filled with the Spirit. We don't box God in. We give God the opportunity to begin to confirm his word and to let his word begin to move in us and do something mightily. And so, that's gift, tongues, interpretation. We haven't got the prophecy. I think we've probably gone on a good while today. So we'll leave prophecy maybe for next week. If that's okay with you, and we'll continue from there. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Bless you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. There's a sheet for you to just fill a few things in. Some of your thoughts after what we've been talking about. There are scriptures there just to remind you of what to read. You've known it to do the gift of prophecy because we've not done that one yet today. But that's just a few things to You know, maybe there may be even a question in there that you think, oh, I want to ask that question next week, or if you're not thought of anything now, but because we're always open to questions. And
can I just ask you, if you keep praying and studying about God, does everybody give everybody the gift of tongues?
As we seek God for the gifts of the Spirit, then yes, God will give you the gift of tongues. It is a way of expressing and speaking out unto God. I know some people who struggle, now I will admit that, and in some cases I think the trying to understand tongues is the wrong thing to do. You can't what's not a language to you naturally, there's no point trying to understand it, right? But you just go with it, you see. And this is, I think this is probably in one sense maybe a way of bringing you and I as an individual to the point where we actually learn to surrender and trust God more, where we're just throwing ourselves on God and say, well, I'm going to go for this. I mean, I remember when I was filled by the Spirit, I'd been prayed for a couple of times, and they used to lay hands on you, they'd end up, they were shaking you, by the time, they were trying to make you bald, I think, at the same time, you know, and as a teenager, you'd go into receiving meetings, as they were called in them days, and you'd come out, and they'd say, oh, yeah, you've got it, and I'm thinking, I don't really think I have. I might have had a couple of words or something, but I'm not sure I've really got it. And I remember one time I was, Maltby Pentecostal Church. I had a motorbike then, and I went on my motorbike. I couldn't find the church, down a back street, typical Assemblies of God, you know, hidden down a back street somewhere where nobody can find it. And so I was about to go home and think, forget it, no idea where this place is. And the chain broke on the bike. So there I am, stranded in the middle of Maltby with a broken chain. So I've now, fortunately, I've got all the equipment to fix it. So I'm laid on the floor, and when I finished it, you know, my hands are as black as the ace of spades. And I just finished it, and my pastor, would you believe it, walked by and said, hey up, lad, what are you doing here? I said, well, I've been looking for a meeting, and I missed the afternoon meeting. I said, I've been looking for a meeting. I said, no idea where the place is. I said, and then my chains broke on my bike. And he said, just, so he, there he was, gave me directions where I needed to go. I got washed up, I got to the church, got to the meeting. Now, the standard procedure was this. When they had a Saturday meeting, they had a Saturday afternoon meeting, they had tea refreshments, then they had a, in that break, they would have a receiving meeting for the Holy Spirit. Is that true?
Yeah.
That was standard procedure. And then they'd have the evening meeting. Well, I missed tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I managed to get in just about as they were going to begin the meeting in the evening. And I was literally, the place was packed. I was sat, so I sat at the back next to the door. And as I sat down, I heard this. Tonight I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. Now, John Sheldon were preaching that night. Now, he was a good preacher. I couldn't tell you a word he said. I sat there all night thinking, I wish he'd sit down and shut up. You know, I wish he'd sit down and shut up. Because I knew that I'd heard, you see. And then, now, I just can't remember this, whether it was said, it was said at the beginning of the meeting, that evening meeting, after service, we're going to have a receiving meeting in the back room. And at that point, the Lord said to me, it's your time. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like thinking, I wish you'd sit down and shut up. You know, come on, you know. I'm ready. And there was three of us went into this back room, and they laid hands on me, and I was the first one to explode. And I just took off. I was absolutely gone. I was drunk as a skunk. I had to get on my motorbike and ride home. Well, for anybody that knows Maltby, coming to Braithwell, there's a downhill run and a sharp left-hand 90-degree bend, and the camber's the wrong way for a motorbike. And I came out of Maltby on angel's wings. I mean, I am flying out of Maltby, you know. And I'm speaking in tongues and going for like crazy. And then all of a sudden I suddenly realised, oh, there's a 90 degree bend coming up here. I have no idea how I got round it, but I did. You know, I think angels must be going, oh, keep looking, right? You know, getting round. And that was it for me. I knew I'd been filled. I had received that fullness, that outpouring of the Spirit, and it changed my life. Because up until that point in time, I was shy, timid, reserved, quiet, like I am now. And, you know, that was me. I won't say boo to a goose. But from that point on time, something began to change in me and the way I lived, acted, and moved. And that's what happens with the fullness of the Spirit coming into our lives. And it's a process that continues and continues and continues. And as we go through this, all these giftings are available to each and every one of us. They are not reserved just for hierarchical people. They are reserved for those, for the whosoever, for that right relationship that they have with God. Amen. Lord bless you. Any questions? Any more?
If you get a prophetic picture while you're out on the street praying again, just the one you're randomly in that, you've got no one to run that by, what do you do with it?
Okay, let's do it this way. Let me back up, because we haven't got to prophecy. But, yeah, I know, but let's back it up a minute. Let's hope that before you got to that point in time, you've been in a church situation or around people who actually hear and see God, the Word of God, and you've been able to test things, right? Now, it's not always easy, and even I, you know, sadly, at times I didn't have people around me that I needed. I had them initially launch me into prophetic ministry, etc. But then again, there comes a day when it's like, okay, you're on your own. Now you have to begin to continue taking those steps and trusting God. Now, in a situation like that, I would say to somebody, I'm seeing this, and I've probably said it to you, is this right? Have I?
Yeah.
So I will say, is this right? If it's not, disregard it. And if you think there's something in it, well, go away and pray about it and then come back and we'll talk about it. See, so I've not made it an absolute at that point in time. Unless somebody says, yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, I know I'm on song. I know I've heard the Spirit. I know things are moving in that direction. But what we have to watch for is that people will come into a church and say, I've got a prophetic ministry. What they really mean is they've got a prophetic ministry and get out because we don't need you. Because they are not subject to the church leadership. Now, when I go out ministering, I am subject to whoever is in leadership in that church. Right? And I can bring a word and say, you know, I've got this word, and I will let it pass by the leadership in that sense and let them judge. And if they think it's wrong, then they have a right to sort of correct. Certainly when I go to Romania in particular. But when we're moving in the things of the Spirit, when we know that we know that we know, and you will get to that point where you know. And I will admit, there are times when we think we've missed it. But I don't want to say that one yet, because I'm going to use that one for a gift of prophecy for next week. All right. Otherwise, I'll fire all my bullets. But does that help a little bit? You know, and if it doesn't, ask again next week, and we'll hopefully have filled in the blanks. Amen. Okay.
Well, thank you. Amen.
Thank you, guys.